The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're halfway through the show that is halfway through the week right here on the 17th of May. That is Hump Day. George Brockler with you here on 710 KNUS. We are going to go to the VIP line. We have needed to have this guy on for a long time, ever since he pulled this big victory off. It is Dave Williams. He is the state party chair for the GOP. Also a guy who knows Colorado Springs and El Paso County, because not only has he lived there, guy's been successful on the ballot multiple times. Sir, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thanks for having me, George.
Now, Dave, first off, you won multiple elections down there. Your district, how does it rub up against or include any part of Colorado Springs, or is it just adjacent to it?
It's in Colorado Springs, a good portion of it. So it's a microcosm of the larger geographical area.
Now, this outcome, and not just who won, but the spread that at least exists right now, was that a shock to you?
Yeah, I think it was a shock to a lot of folks. We figured it would be close, but we didn't certainly expect it would be a landslide victory for Yemi. That's something that we should all be concerned with, the wake-up call for us.
When you look at that area, and you're still there, man, you and the family, I think, are still there, what is changing about Colorado Springs, or what do you chalk up this kind of victory to?
Well, I mean, there's not one answer that I think sort of really encapsulates why Yemi won and Wayne lost. I think it has to do with maybe two or three factors. Number one, I think it was a negative campaigning and internal, Republican fighting between the candidates that came close during the regular election. You had prominent Republicans like Sally Clark, for instance, who barely lost to Wayne on that first round, come out and support people like Yemi. And then you had a prominent...
Hold on. Say that again. Who supported Yemi?
Sally Clark. Sally
what?
Clark, who... Sally Clark came out and endorsed Yemi, and then you had Bill Elder, the former sheriff who just got out of office, who's a Republican, prominent, popular Republican, come out and endorse Yemi.
So I did not know that, Dave. That's a big deal. I know both those people. I didn't know that happened.
Yeah. There was not a consensus Republican pick right after that first round, and I think that really did a lot of damage Wayne. And then, of course, there was the negative campaigning that really beat up Wayne during that first round due to some internal local developer fights where they were picking sides. And no one laid on that first round, no one laid a finger on Yemi. So Yemi got to benefit from just positive campaigning while Wayne was on his heels the whole time. So there's that.
Those are some pretty prominent Republicans down there in that area coming out for Yemi, who I think is a progressive based on the stuff that I've read. I mean, someone texted me and said he has come out to be a little more pro-business in the things that he said during the campaign, and that he's an anti-crime guy. I don't know if those things are true, but what's your sense of him? Had you ever known of this guy before the campaign?
No, he is a newcomer, to be sure. But the things that I saw and the things that our state party put out, on behalf of Wayne and to get the truth out about Yemi, is that he is a socialist. This guy is going to move or try to move the city to the left. And I think at this point what we're hoping for is the council to be a meaningful check and balance on.
You know, what was amazing is I looked up the results from the 2019 election. Now, granted, Southers was the incumbent running for re-election. He crushed the opposition, and that was an election in which Wayne was the top vote-getter for city council during that time. I mean, it's just interesting to me how he can pull. I don't know if it's a substantial change. I love your insight, by the way, as to what took place in the primary leading up to this. I did not know Bill and Sally had come out and endorsed this guy. That is so very interesting. Do you then see this as a one-off? Like, this is less a sign that that Colorado Springs has shifted to the left than it is a series of things that you've described pretty well, Dave, which is a lot of internal fighting, a lot of negative campaigning, prominent Republicans coming out for the other guy, thus giving him the sense of moderation at best.
Yeah, I do. I think this is more of a one-off, but it's certainly something that we can't take for granted. I think every Republican in every part of the state needs to realize just because you live in a red county or anything remote, you know, like that, doesn't mean you can rest on your laurels. Really, I think this is a story of Yemi, who was a newcomer, who is an unaffiliated voter. That's the other thing. He's not a Democrat, so we couldn't say he's a Democrat. And he had political cover from prominent Republicans saying, yeah, he's a great guy. So when you have that kind of dynamic going on, plus the negative campaigning against Wayne, I think that really is the answer here.
You know, usually you count on name ID as a pretty big advantage, and Wayne has been on, I think, every ballot since you were in middle school. So it's just hard to imagine that people didn't know Wayne when they saw him on the ballot, and there must have been something about that. That's fascinating. Do you also, since you're the guy at the top of the pyramid here for the state, do you sense anything broader than that outside of Colorado Springs, given some of the internal fighting that's going on in the El Paso GOP party?
It's hard to say. I do think it's actually getting better than what we've seen in years past. You even had the El Paso County GOP put out a similar message about Yemi and Wayne being the only Republican, Yemi being a socialist, and the need for us to defeat Yemi. So there was a slight coalescing that we saw in El Paso that you haven't seen in a long time. But when you have people like Sally come out for Yemi, that's a tough hill to climb. But I do think 2024 is going to be a better year than what people realize. And I think Republicans, you know, the one silver lining here is I think the Republicans can see the results here and realize, okay, hey, we really do need to come together and start defeating Democrats.
In the time that you have been in charge of the state party, what things have you changed already that you think are already starting to show some promise?
Well, certainly cleaning up our own past practices. I mean, I got in there and I'm not going to disparage any past administrations, but it was a mess. And I am a firm believer that if we can't clean up our own house, then we kind of have no business governing, you know, generally. We had a lot of inefficiencies, a lot of wasteful spending that was going on. And just from an organizational standpoint, we got to get the foundation right. And that's what we've been working on, you know, thus far. We can do that, then we can focus on the fun stuff of attacking Democrats, going on offense, as well as making the case why Republican governance desperately needed because one party rule is killing the state.
Well, we've seen this legislative session, Dave, was a dumpster fire. I mean, when we count our victories as some of the most extreme bills I've ever seen finally die towards the end, or, hey, we had a chance to water them down a bit, when that's how we count our victories, we're in a huge, huge perception deficit, and certainly we don't have our hands on any of the levers of state government. The good news for us, and I say good news in air quotes, is 2024 offers no statewide elections for us. We can actually drill down and focus on congressional seats and House, you know, state House and state Senate seats and district attorneys and all that other stuff. Where do you see us making the most inroads in 2024, given where we're postured right now?
The state legislature. That's going to be a major focus for the state party, is we're going to try and regain ground that we've lost. We're going to target about 10 seats, and we'll release what those seats are very soon to the public, but everyone can probably guess with a good amount of accuracy the ones we're targeting. And then aside from the legislature, we're going to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect law and order, as well as ensure that CD8 does get flipped with the increased participation in the 2024 cycle.
Huge bummer to have Barb get knocked out, in essence, by a libertarian. And I don't know that we have any ability to discourage them from running again, but that seems like it's a super competitive district, and having a libertarian jump in and probably steal more votes from the Republican than the Dem, that's a tough spot to be in.
It is, but what is promising is that the Libertarian Party has reached out to me. They want to work in a more collaborative way. I think they understand the importance of not allowing these Democrats to gain any more ground. So we'll see what we can negotiate. No promises, because they are libertarians, but I think the fact that we have lines of communication open, I'm hopeful that we can avoid a spoiler effect that we saw.
I think the state executive committee, and correct me if I'm wrong on that terminology, voted to support the lawsuit to close the primaries, to put them back the way they were before we changed the law. Can you update us on that?
Yeah, you bet. The executive committee took a vote, and we made it very clear that, yes, we wanted to pursue the lawsuit, but we also wanted to make sure that we would protect the party finances as well. So right now we're engaged with organizers of the previous lawsuit to see what we can do to ensure that no financial liability falls on our party, so that we can fundraise for our political activities. And we also got an update from the FEC saying we're able to fundraise unlimited amounts of money, even from corporations, for the lawsuit. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, those things help us in that pursuit.
We're talking with Dave Williams. He's the state party GOP chair. Have you guys, I presume then you haven't retained anybody yet to represent the state in this, because we just don't know what the dollars look like.
Yeah, no, we haven't retained anyone yet, but that's the next step. We're talking with the organizers from the last lawsuit attempt, because they've been through this, and we want to see what we can do potentially to partner with them. If not, we'll explore other options.
Knowing how slowly the civil justice system works, if you can call it that, are you optimistic that whatever gets done has an impact on the potential on the primary that we're going to have in 2024?
No, I don't think so. I think the realistic expectation here is, yes, we do the lawsuit, and if we get lucky, sure, and it impacts the 2024 election, great. But I think most of us are well aware that this could take this could take years. So we're not accounting for that in our plans for 2024.
I should have asked you this back when we were talking about Colorado Springs. How involved, if at all, does the state party get in these nonpartisan municipal elections when you and I both know who the Republicans and the Dems are?
Well, the answer is it depends. I know when Wayne got onto the runoff, he gave me a call immediately and asked me to help him, and I said sure. So we started to put out communications really outlining what the stakes were if Yemi won and Wayne lost, and the need for Republicans to get their ballots turned in. And the simple fact that, Wayne was the only Republican. One of the other things that I failed to mention was that Yemi did everything right and by the book. I mean, he was making speeches where he was quoting Ronald Reagan. Like, he was appealing to Republicans, and that's part of it. He won over Republicans to get this victory.
We have some texters who have come in. You talked about Wayne, who have said, I think Wayne lost because he was a rhino or because he was not a hardcore conservative. Speak to that. What's your sense of that?
I think there's some merit to the conversation that Wayne kind of did some things to appeal to swing voters. I mean, doing a commercial with Jenna Griswold, that didn't help him amongst, the base. That was only one more reason why someone either voted for Yemi or took a chance on Yemi versus, maybe not even voting at all. I made it very clear. I did a radio interview with Richard Randall. I said, look, if you don't get your ballot in, you really have no right to complain. I don't want to hear anything about how the city is going to the dumps, because you had an opportunity to prevent Yemi from winning in the first place.
Have you looked at the turnout numbers, Dave, to see how they compare to 2019, or if there's any indication of people just sitting on their ballots and not taking an active role?
We haven't done that analysis yet, but we will. We're going to take a look at this, because it's pretty significant to see this kind of victory, especially against an established or someone who's well deeply connected within the city, to lose by these margins. So I don't know yet, but I suspect that there were a number of folks who did sit on their hands and just kind of let it happen.
That's painful. It sounds like, too, though, based on what I read in the Gazette, that Yemi had a pretty significant ground game. I think they claim they knocked on 40,000 doors in the city. That's a lot.
Yeah, no, they like I said, I can't understate this. He did everything. He made all the right moves. He really built coalitions and presented himself as a moderate to win. So,
Well, we'll see how he governs. Let's take a step back, though, and look at the state. I'd mentioned before, the biggest thing on the ballot for us here in Colorado is likely to be the president of the United States. That race is developing at the national level. Given how we have performed as a party in the last few election cycles, I mean, really 18, 20, and 22, since President Trump was elected, does who the Republicans nominate have a positive or negative impact on our overall performance at the state level? And I'm just saying, if Donald Trump becomes the nominee, it is, in your opinion, is that a plus for the party at the state level? Is it a non-factor if it's DeSantis or anybody else that's running? Does that make a difference to you in your mind as to how we would perform?
I mean, I think the answer is obviously yes. So whoever is at the top of the ticket is obviously going to have a lot of influence on down ballot races. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from Scott Gessler, actually. He told me that whoever's the national or presidential nominee, they're going to have more control over the future prospects of the party here in Colorado than any one person within the state. I think that's true. I mean, we're at the mercy of the national politics that's going on, because so much attention is paid to these guys. And so I think the answer is yes, but it also depends. I don't know what the conditions on the ground are going to look like nationally as we get closer to 2024, but it's possible Joe Biden really finds himself in a Watergate-esque type scandal, and it doesn't matter who we nominate. It's going to help us. But I certainly, if I could read a crystal ball and tell you the future, I'd probably be wealthier and more successful than I am now.
Well, and I know that you can't come out and say, I think this is the best candidate for the Republicans because of the position that you're in. I think the only thing I wonder is, because it's undeniable in my opinion, in my lifetime, no Republican has motivated the base and energized the base the way Donald Trump has. That's just undeniable, including Reagan. Nobody's motivated him the way he has. But I also think it's equally undeniable that nobody has motivated the other side to turn out the way Donald Trump has either. I mean, this dude gets people energized one way or the other. And it feels like, just based on what happened in 18, 20, and 22, that cuts against us here in Colorado, where it feels like we're blueing. Do you see Colorado that way, or do you think the blue stuff is overstated?
It's hard to say. I do think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. Like, yes, Donald Trump, if he were the nominee again, he's going to certainly drive up participation amongst Republicans. But it's equally true for Democrats. And the problem we have is that we don't have as big a voter registration as Democrats, and definitely not unaffiliated. So I think from a state party perspective, what we'll do, regardless of who the nominee is, we'll try to localize these elections as best as possible, because ultimately whoever's elected at the White House, while it's an important thing, we do have to deal with these local politicians who are getting elected. And as we saw this past session, they're very important, more consequential in many instances than what happens in Washington.
Dave, are you going to the Western Conservative Summit this year?
Yeah, I'll be popping in for sure.
Awesome. Are you going to get any podium time there, a chance to address the crowd?
I don't think so, because Jeff, I think, made it clear that because he's a 501c3.
Yeah, you know what? As soon as I said it, I sounded like an idiot, because you're right. The direct connection would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'll be there.
Well, man, maybe we'll run into you. If not on Friday, then maybe on Saturday. Dave Williams, he is the chairman for the state GOP party. Man, thanks for taking time out of your morning to talk with us.
You bet, George. Thanks for having me.
See you. And by the way, we're going to have Dave on every month. We'll figure out a way to get Priscilla on as well. Priscilla loves to come into the studio. We love to have her. She usually brings something like candles that smell like feet or other appendages. I don't know. She's really good at the candle stuff. But we'll have Dave on every month to keep updating us on what's going on with the state, what's going on with the party, and all that other stuff. I mentioned the Western Conservative Summit. Hey, folks, that's coming up on us right now, June 9th and 10th at the Colorado Convention Center. I think we did it last year at the Gaylord out there by the airport, but it's at the Colorado Convention Center. That's a big deal. We, right here, News Talk 710 KNUS and the Centennial Institute, we're the ones sponsoring this thing. Let me just read you a list of names of folks that are coming on board. Lauren Boebert, Eric Metaxas, Ken Buck, Jenna Ellis, Frank Gaffney, Tulsi Gabbard, and recently added Senator Josh Hawley from the Show Me State of Missouri. You can go get tickets right there at 710knus.com. We're the official station for the 2023 Western Conservative Summit. And before I cut away for a break, and then I want to get, we're going to have another guest on after this. I just want to confirm he's able to come on. I want to continue to have this conversation, but I'm going to ask you, what's going on in El Paso County in Colorado Springs? And does that portend something about Colorado overall? Or is it just a municipal thing? We've had a bunch of texters chime in on this. I'd love for you to be part of that, too. But before we cut away, I want to tell you about QC Kinetics. These are those folks I've been bragging on you about who fix you with you. I don't want that to sound dumb, but there's something called regenerative medicine. And these guys can do with a needle and no downtime what those great, fantastic orthopedic surgeons do with a scalpel when they cut you open and do this, tuck that, sew this, replace these things. They don't do any of that at QC Kinetics. They simply use you to fix you. It's a outpatient procedure. You're back on your feet in no time. So if it's, I don't know, back, hips, knees, elbows, shoulders, whatever it is, yep, go get your advice from your doctor. But before you decide, I'm going to go have surgery, before you make that decision, just call QC Kinetics. These folks have such an incredible track record of making folks feel better. And that quality of life stuff, what would you give to be pain-free? Let's find out. Call QC Kinetics at 303-900-8986, 303-900-8986, 303-900-8986, or you can check them out at qckinetics.com. Hey, stick around. We're going to come back. We'll get you, me, the texts, the phones, and maybe even a guest. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. My thanks to Dave Williams. He's the state party chair for the GOP. We're going to have on at 9 o'clock Dick Wadhams, former state party chair. Love to get his sense to, from his vantage point, about whether this is broader than just Colorado Springs and what are the causes of this, or if it's a one-off. And I really appreciated Dave's insight on that. It sounds like, and these are the things we just don't get up here in the metro area as much, it sounds like the initial battle, that primary battle, was kind of a bloodletting for Wayne. And at the same time, when no gloves are landed on Yemi, that guy starts off at a pretty good place. I just would have thought Wayne's name ID would have been enough. But it sounds like between that and Republicans, including another Republican opponent, Sally Clark, who almost made it to that final election, comes out along with Bill Elder, who is a well-regarded, highly respected sheriff down there for many years, comes out for the other guy. That's kind of a big deal. That's a big deal. But we'll talk with Dick about that in the 9 o'clock hour. I'd love to talk with you about it at 303-696-1971. As it turns out, we have a line open. We're going to start with Jim from Denver. Jim, you're on 710. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. I was stationed down in the Springs years ago, and it's an extremely diverse place. And I couldn't imagine very many people voting because it's such a transient population with those five military bases and all the dependents from everywhere throughout the world that live down there. Hell, they don't know how to drive down there. That's one of the worst places to drive on the
Jim,
planet.
Jim, to that point, though, how many folks did you know when you were serving that would change their voter registration to match their base for the next 2 or 3 years? Most of the guys and gals I know were like, look, I'm a citizen of Wisconsin because of this, or I'm a citizen of Wyoming or Texas because there's no income tax. I mean, very few of them ever participated anyway.
However, I was amazed because as a military member, in the I got there in the early 90s, I had never heard of any military members voting for Democrats. But when I got down there amongst the Air Force and the Army, I was surprised in 92 when those people were talking about not voting for the Conservative Party. It blew me away. I had never experienced that before, being a military member out on the West Coast. So I moved here, and I could not believe these people were talking about voting for Clinton. But they were. They were voting for Clinton, and perhaps it had something to do with, And I can never get this out of my head. The Army Times down there, when I would drive on that base to go to the commissary,
yeah,
they had a paper out in 94, and it actually said that as a result of the base realignment and closure during the 89 to 91 period, after the first round, they said that nearly 40% of the enlisted Army people qualified for food stamps. It took so much, it filtered so much money away from the military. And maybe that's when the turning point actually was for the military members.
Well, Jim, how would you explain then? Because I would think that the military members were most likely to vote Republican just historically.
Correct.
But how do you explain then back-to-back terms by John Suthers? And also, I mean, he won by a landslide in his reelect. How did we go from that just 4 years ago? And by the way, on that same ballot, Wayne Williams was the top vote getter for the at-large city council seats. What the heck?
I think possibly we've gone from very low voter turnout to voter interest. And I think that is due to Donald Trump and the fact that the Republican Party, in my mind at least, is no longer conservative, and that George W. Bush destroyed the Constitution with that Patriot Act. People who actually look at what the Patriot Act does understand that your Constitution is dead. It's gone.
So, but how would that impact this particular election? Is it increasing turnout? And if so, not by conservatives? It's increasing turnout by progressives or liberals?
Yeah, I think that people are looking for something that actually works, because just saying the word conservative and putting red next to your name on a ballot no longer just simply works. I think Donald Trump has changed politics completely.
In a good way or a bad way for purposes of elections like that? These are local elections. I mean, I can't imagine Trump's presence anywhere in politics would impact Colorado Springs, but maybe I'm just not seeing it.
I'm not sure, but I would say that as far as the public is concerned, if you can get more people to vote, you know, in what we call a republic, was probably a good thing, right? But I mean, I truly believe that the old style Republican Party did rely on low voter turnout for decades to win elections. And then along came Donald Trump, and he motivated more people to vote than both of the Bushes combined. And
I think
that's true.
You, I think that's
every
true.
Time we had a Bush, we had something absolutely evil immediately thereafter. Right. So I think it's changed, and we've got a very diverse population now. I don't believe that Republicans have a single fiscal conservative bone in their body, and I can stand by that statement with hours of conversation.
You might be proven to be right here. We're going to see what happens with just the issue of whether or not to raise the debt ceiling. That might be an indication, too, of where at least the leadership of the House is at the moment.
The only financial cuts that anybody on the conservative party wants is from the opposing political party. They want to grow the military and the military contractors twofold because of all the upcoming threats. So money is, you know, truly is just an idea. And it's an idea where we as conservatives, or the real conservatives, are trying to force the liberals to stop spending while we get their funds and can spend them in our conservative path.
Well, I don't know anything about the city council composition of it now in El Paso or down in Colorado mm-hmm. Springs, but we'll find out too, right? I mean, if Yemi the progressive that they say he is, they're going to seek to increase fees or taxes or whatever they can do without having to go to the voters just for that purpose. It will be interesting to see how that changes. Jim, thank you for the phone call, my man. You always have interesting points to make. Jim's line is open at 303-696-1971. Hey, when you talk about government and putting their hand in your pocket, one of the things that they do is take some of that money and they give it to these organizations out there that are trying to help save lives, and they tell them how to spend the money. And they make them jump through hoops to file this form and that form and to comply with all of the other stuff. You know who doesn't do that? Because they know the way to save a life, and that is Step Denver. You've heard me talk about them before because I'm a huge fan. I'm an advocate for Step Denver. Hell, we've done a live show or two from there since I've been in the saddle here. the stories of the men whose lives that they turn around and change. And listen, don't make any mistake about this. They don't have 100% success rate. That's not how drug addiction and homelessness, which go hand in hand many times, how it goes. That's just not how it works. It takes a lot more than that. And these folks are dedicated to the idea that providing a safe, sober, and structured place that these men can call home is the way to success. And you, man, if you could ever get a tour of that place out there in Denver, you would come away feeling like every dollar spent here is a dollar that is maximized towards saving a life. And that's what it comes down to. These are folks that say, the government doesn't know how to do this. We know how to do this. And if we're going to save lives, we're not going to take government money. Well, that means you and I. You and I have to come up with the dollars. And yeah, you could donate to them. You could cut them a check. But the other thing you could do, and this is pretty cool, you could donate your truck, your RV, your car of any kind, every vehicle that gets donated to them, because they fix it up, they clean it up, they maximize the tax benefit of you making that donation. Every vehicle is a spot for another man who is dealing with addiction and homelessness to get in there and turn their lives around. And by the way, this isn't like, hey, 2 months and they send you back out onto the street. It's not like that. It's also not a place where they just throw their arms around you and say, we just love you so much. We know when you're ready for rehabilitation. That's not how it works, man. They have rules, pretty strict rules. The conduct, the respect, the discipline that they instill in these men to getting themselves off of drugs and back to being tax-paying, productive members of society, man, it's incredibly motivational. You can be a part of it. Do something right now this year that you can look back on and say 2023 was the year I saved a life. You can go to stepdenver.org, easy to spell, stepdenver.org, or give them a call at 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020. Free tow, hassle-free way to donate your vehicle. Going right to the text here, we've got George yet again. The squabbles by the Republicans contribute to a Dem or whatever, and I get it, he's unaffiliated, election win. It sounds like it, man. When you listen to Dave Williams, the state party chair for the GOP, that was a big part of this thing. I'm interested to know, like, I know Bill. I'm a big fan of Bill Elder. He was a great sheriff, and he was always good to work with when I was the DA. I'd be interested to know why he went that direction instead of with Wayne. That's just so interesting. I can see sitting it out, but going out and endorsing a guy, that's different. Another one here, Wayne's name hurt him. I think people just do not like Wayne. He is blah, blah, blah. Listen to him when he was on the Mandy Connell show. He did horribly. Emmy did much better when he was on her show. It will be interesting to see how Yemi does. If he does well, people might give another non-Republican a chance. Maybe that's the secret thing, because now you're going to be able to have the mayor of Colorado Springs come out and endorse whoever they want. The unaffiliated nature of that is important. He's not a Dem. He's always been unaffiliated. It's an unaffiliated job. It'll be interesting to see how he throws his weight around to impact not just municipal races, because that'll matter. He'll want a city council composition that is favorable to his plans. And it's a strong mayor city. I mean, the mayor, they don't have the city manager model that Aurora does or Lakewood does. They have a strong mayor. Mayor Southers makes a ton of decisions and drives the ship for municipal government down there. And Yemi will now get that chance. It'll be interesting to see how he throws his weight around. I think the guy, listen, best guess right now, given his performance, guy's going to be a rock star. He's going to be very popular, not because of, I'm just talking about because of the victory and coming out of nowhere, no political past, the message that he had, the ability to bring people from the other side of the ideological aisle to support him publicly. That's going to be a big thing. Here's another one. George, I work with Jeff Coe's only elected Republican, County Surveyor Bob Hennessy. He said, give him a call. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll call Bob and say, what the hell, man? What insights do you have for us? Is El Paso County the next Jeffco? George, sick of hearing every GOP person say, quote, they did everything right when the loss is posted. Quote, no ground game. Because with Trump, abortion still stirring pot, no one wants to walk door to door. Most Republicans seem shrill and condemning. There needs to be a sea change to get back to constitutional principles. Public is poorly educated, though. I do think there's something to be said for a certain portion of the population that is voting without knowing the issues or the candidates, and they're just voting off of the R or the D. I get that. But I do think that to some extent, if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, you have to wrap your mind around the idea that maybe a certain portion of the population has changed enough that they know exactly what we stand for and they disagree with it. They disagree with our notion of freedom. They disagree with our defense of the Second Amendment to the extent to the extreme that we do it. They object to our position on pro-life and abortion. Maybe it's just that the majority of voters in the state of Colorado reject those positions, and we can either accept that, we can try to change the demographics, or we can try to come up with a policy that gets us as much of what we can get as possible. I just don't know what the right answer is here. Here's another one. Ours need to put forward better candidates. They need to appeal to a somewhat younger crowd. Their identity needs to be tied to something looser and less uptight. They can promote conservative policies economically and public safety, but they have to lose the religious grandstanding. I didn't pay a lot of attention to Wayne's campaign down there, but I saw Wayne's campaign for Secretary of State twice. He doesn't do that, man. He's not the guy that runs on the I'm the extremist conservative. I'm just the conservative guy doing a good job, and I don't know that he does any of the religious stuff. If that's an issue, Texter, what you're describing is a brand issue, not a candidate issue, in my opinion, because I just don't see Wayne that way. Yep, that was something nice from Alexa. Just texted. Oh, this text has nothing to do with our topic, which we're going to get back to, I promise. You call in and chime in on this. What happened in Colorado Springs? And is it the tea leaves for the future? Is this something that we're going to see again in Aurora? We can't really see it too much in, well, I guess we could, but not so much in Denver because it's down to Mike Johnson and Kelly Bruff. I like both those people. I don't think there's a ton of daylight between them, but we'll see what Denver decides to go with there. But I got a nice text here, and it was pretty cool, man. It was about Twin Aspen Dental. Somebody said, hey, I just went to your favorite dentist. Love them. They're bringing back my smile. I mean, I'm not even doing a live read for them now. I did that earlier, but what a great text. I love it when you guys share with us the experiences you have with the people that we like and that we promote to you. Someone texted in. It's a brand issue. Voters are ill-informed and libs control the media narrative. The ill-informed part, I just don't know how much that is it. I think that when we talk about the ballot harvesting and people going door to door, activists and the knocking on the doors, I think that's super effective ground game. You should be doing that anyway, whether you're a Dem, a Republican, or anything in between. You got to have a ground game. The issue here is, does that ground game result in people turning in ballots where they're just voting because the nice person at the door said, hey, this is who I support, please vote for them, or hey, can you get that little blonde, blue envelope, bring it over here, and let's talk about the things to vote for? Maybe, but I don't know if that's the majority of them. I don't know if it's just that they're ill-informed. I do think the libs control the media narrative. I don't think there's much debate about that. They don't, of course, control 710 KNUS, but we're not quite the 9 News or the 7 or the 4 or any of that stuff. Here's another one. George, when Williams gave us Dominion voting systems, that hurt him real bad and permanently. Richard, the limo driver. Well, remember, Wayne can't give you the Dominion voting systems because each county can make the decision to adopt whatever voting system they want. Here's the proof. My county, Douglas County, we're not a Dominion county. At least we weren't under Merlin Klotz back when he was the dude running the show on the voting. I don't know that it was Wayne that gave us Dominion. I'd have to know more about that point that you're making right there. 303-696-1971 is our number. I had mentioned before about Gay Ribble. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you are looking to sell a home, if you are looking to buy a home, and many times you're looking to do both, it's the most stressful thing you can do, biggest investment you're ever going to have, and my God, with interest rates and the market the way they are, why navigate that by yourself? Why not reach out to Gay Ribble and the Empower Home Team? Awesome folks there, the Empower Home Team, Keller Williams. These are people that have been doing it at the highest levels for everyday folks like you and me for decades. They're in the business of making families happy. They're in the business of putting people in places where they can grow their family. Gay is a huge, I've mentioned this before, huge advocate of adoption. She's the product of adoption. My immediate family, I've got adoption there. I love Gay Ribble's heart. And so if you're looking for someone who doesn't just have the brain, but they have the values and the principles, call Gay Ribble. 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD, or you can check her out at gayhasthebuyers.com. That's Gay, G-A-Y-E, hasthebuyers.com. She's the bomb. Get the best. Listen, when we come back, we're going to get to our phone lines. We're going to get to our texts. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. I want to do my best to give as much time as I can to Cameron. Cameron, you're on 710. I want to hear what you have to say, buddy. I have about a minute-ish. It's all yours.
Absolutely. I'll make it quick. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a resident down here in the Springs, native Coloradan, grew up here, family buried here before the state was even a state. But my impression, what I'm looking at kind of from being here on the ground is Wayne's messaging was very generic in terms of here's why you shouldn't vote for him in the runoff. There's not a lot on the ME out there other than he's a pastor. He's a local pastor. And the Springs, being a very religious community, I think, responded to that. Couple that with the initiatives they've had here in the Springs the past several years of trying to get collective bargaining for law enforcement, fire, first response, basically. And the ME kind of playing to that, I think it was one of those, well, we don't know a lot about him. We know he's a pastor, being a religious community. We like that. And he wants collective bargaining for our first responders. Let's give him a shot. That's my impression.
Interesting. Is this a one-off then? I mean, is it still a Republican city and this guy just pulled a rabbit out of a hat?
I think so, my impression. I mean, we have a college here, a very kind of liberal college. And I think there is a growing population base that leans that way. But I don't see it being a regular thing for maybe the next 5 to 10 years.
Cameron, I love the insights. Thank you for taking us to the end of the hour. That's the kind of stuff we need here. Hey, Dick Wadhams next. Stick around. George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.